You're listening to Aging in Alaska, a show created to explore the many aspects of aging and provide information, insight, guidance, and support to Alaskan elders and their families. Aging in Alaska is produced by the Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska, and I'm your host, Lisa Warzonek. With us today, all the way from Juneau, is Denise Daniello and Sharon Howerton Clark from Homer to tell us about the Alaska Commission on Aging and what they're doing for aging Alaskans. Denise is the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Aging, and Sharon is the Commission's Chairperson. Welcome, Denise and Sharon. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for inviting us.
Yes, thank you, Lisa.
So, Denise, can you start off by telling our listeners a little bit about the Alaska Commission on Aging and what its function is?
Sure. The Alaska Commission on Aging is an agency under the Department of Health and Social Services. We've been around since 1982. The mission for the Commission on Aging is to plan, educate, collaborate, and advocate on behalf of all older Alaskans, and these are people age 60 years and older, to ensure their dignity and independence, and also to make sure that they have access to services close to home so that they can remain in their homes and communities for as long as possible. We have 11 members who serve on the commission. And the majority of them are seniors. We have three designated seats, one for the Department of Health and Social Services, one for the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. We also have a provider seat that's currently held by the Executive Director, Pat Franson, of the Kodiak Senior Center. And we also have a seat for the chair of the Pioneer Home Advisory Board because we have a very close relationship with that board. We've done a lot of work, but that just presents you with an overview of the commission.
What about the commission's role with the Department of Health and Social Services? What's the relationship there?
We have a very close working relationship with the Department of Health and Social Services. We work with the various divisions within the department. One of the projects that we just completed was the draft of the new Alaska State Plan for Senior Services for FY 2012 through 2015. This is a very important document because it satisfies the requirement, federal requirement, through the Older Americans Act for all states to have a plan in place in order for states to draw down federal funds through the Older Americans Act. And we didn't do it by ourselves. We depended a lot on a multi-agency, state agencies, as well as we had senior provider representation and consumer representation on the steering committee to help us develop a state plan for senior services.
Yeah, the collaboration between all the agencies was unprecedented. You know, we all pulled together, and like, you know, if we hadn't had that cooperation, we wouldn't have gotten as far as we were.
And I also wanted to mention too this the types of funding that the state receives through the Older Americans Act as a result of having this state plan in place. The state receives funding to provide nutritional support for seniors, like the home delivered meals and the congregate meals offered in the senior center. Transportation, care coordination, respite that was provided by the senior centers. Also, funding is provided to tribal organizations, so through the Title VI grants. So they're allowed to have access to, you know, to their funds. This money also pays for vocational training for seniors. It provides funding for elder protection, as well as legal services for seniors. So, plus the Senior Voice, too, also gets some of these funds as well. And these are all federal monies through the Older Americans Act.
Well, those are a lot of services, so you can really understand why that collaboration is really important.
Boy, it is.
So I know that the Commission on Aging recently did some polls and surveys to learn a little bit more about the aging population in Alaska. What are some of the current facts and figures you've come up with for the aging population in Alaska?
Okay, well, first of all, we don't do any polls.
Surveys.
But based on our review of census information, you know, 2010 census just came out. So now we have real numbers, you know, for the number of seniors in Alaska. So in 2010, we had 90,876 people age 60 years and older who live in Alaska. And believe it or not, Alaska is the state with the fastest growing senior population. A lot of people find that hard to believe, but it's true, especially those of us who have been here for a long time. You know, we know, like I came here back in the 1970s, and at that time, when people became of age, 60, 65, they wouldn't stay in Alaska. They'd go down south. They'd go to Arizona, California, Florida. But now, you know, people have chosen to remain in the state. And these are mostly people, you know, baby boomers, people born between 1946 to 1964, who moved to the state during the oil boom years to take jobs. And they decided, unlike previous people who moved to the state, to make money, they decided to stay. They, you know, settled down. They purchased homes, had families, got jobs, and so now they've got deep roots in Alaska, and they're still here. So they're the ones who are really responsible for this fast-growing senior population that we have in Alaska. It's not to say that we have more seniors here in the state, because we have a little bit more than 12% of our population statewide are people 60 years and older in comparison to the nation, which is 18%. So we're still under, you know, that average amount. But the number of people are growing faster than any other state. And if you look at our demographics as a state, the population age 60 and older is the fastest growing population. Over the last 10 years, this population has grown 70%. And when you compare that to other age groups, there's no comparison. And kids, you know, under the age of 18, I was real surprised myself to see this. There's actually a decline in that population of 1.8%. So Alaska, which is always known for its youthfulness, is, you know, we're aging. Mm-hmm. And we're becoming, hopefully, a more mature, wiser people for it.
So what do you think that this means for our state with this large number of with the aging population growing so significantly? What does this mean for Alaska's future?
It means a lot. It means that, you know, as a state that has always been a young state, we don't have a lot of, you know, the infrastructure in place, you know, the nursing homes, the assisted living homes that other states have. And that's actually kind of been a good thing. That's worked in our favor, because instead, our strategy has been to utilize home and community-based services, which are extremely cost-effective and very personalized. And because we have so few of, you know, institutional beds, nursing home beds, which is definitely something that we need, we've relied more on these home and community-based services. And I think that's helped people to age in place. But what these numbers mean is that we really now need to start thinking about, you know, the needs of an aging population. We have to look at, our healthcare services, our long-term support services, having enough assisted living homes, nursing homes. We need to think about housing, senior housing. And when we're building new housing, we should be thinking about, you know, accessibility. To make sure that homes are accessible, new homes that we're building. You know, and it affects businesses too, so that they're able to provide and serve an aging population. So it means, you know, quite a bit.
Plus, I do want to add also is that the seniors of Alaska, most of them get retirements and so on and so forth like this. So I think it's $1.8 billion, has it gone up per year? That seniors, and me being a senior,
contribute.
The enhances the economy of the state itself, so, which is a fair amount. And then with more and more baby boomers becoming seniors, the income is definitely going to be appreciated by Alaska.
Well, Sharon, I think you make a good point, because when we think about this aging population and the healthcare and housing, some of our listeners may get the assumption that this is a drain on our system, right, when really the population contributes quite a bit to our economy.
Exactly, yeah.
So with this aging population, and many of our listeners are in rural Alaska, what do you see some of the plans or the issues that are facing elders in rural Alaska?
There are issues held in common statewide among all seniors and elders, but there are some issues that are unique to rural areas. I think what's most common is that everybody wants to remain at homes, you know, in their home and in their communities, connected with their families and friends and their local traditions for as long as possible. Nobody wants to have to move away, you know, from all they know and what they know in order to obtain services in some distant place. And I think this is really important for all of us to recognize, you know, how significant this is for elders, Native elders who have lived in their communities their whole life, and where English may not be, you know, their first language or language that they're comfortable with, having to move to, you know, to Anchorage, or another urban community in order to obtain services, and not having access to their food. Food is so important, so incredibly important. I mean, if you just think about the foods you enjoy, and then being asked when you're in the end stages of life and you don't feel good, to be asked something that you're, that's totally foreign to you, you know, that takes away from your health and wellness. And the other big problem, you know, that people have when they have to go to those urban areas to obtain services is that if their most of their family lives in the village, it's very difficult for them to move on. So, you know, to go and visit them because it's so expensive. Yeah. So, but I think in terms of rural issues, what we have seen, you know, some of the differences is, well, the way, you know, the way services are provided. If you live in a rural community where you don't have access to running water or a thermostat, to, you know, that you can control for heat, and you don't have Fred Meyer's to go shopping, you know, this is going to impact how those services are provided to you, you know, the in-home services and how long it takes to provide those services. And this is something, you know, that we've observed during our rural outreach meetings, which I, you know, we both agree had been very enlightening, not only for us, but also for people who come with us to see, you know, at the department level, you know, how these services and the, are provided and the conditions in which people live.
Yeah, I'd like to add something here, Lisa. The commission is, like she said, 11 member, and we're from all, but we're all volunteers. We are appointed by the governor, but we're volunteers. With this commission, we get the opportunity to go out in the bush or in the rural settings. That gives us the eye-to-eye contact with the people, which to me is very special. And, you know, their needs and their wants are the same as they are in Anchorage. However, the delivery system out in rural Alaska is a little bit harder. And then we're also trying to have people, kids of the elders that want to stay home and take care of grandma and grandpa, have the, correct training for them. You know, not one area fits all. Downtown Anchorage or Anchorage is a lot different than Bethel or the surrounding areas or Dillingham and whatever.
Thank you, Sharon. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Aging in Alaska, and we're talking today with Denise and Sharon with the Alaska Commission on Aging. We'll be right back.
Forgetting to buy bread is normal. Forgetting how the toaster works is not. Are you concerned about a loved one's forgetfulness? The Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska is here to help, offering memory screenings, confidential consultations, classes, trainings, support groups, and more. Call today 1-800-478-1080 or find out more at alzalaska.org.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Aging in Alaska, and today we're talking with Denise Daniello and Sharon Howerton Clark regarding the Alaska Commission on Aging. Welcome back, and thanks again, Denise and Sharon, for being with us today. So we've talked about some of the things that the Commission on Aging does, one of them being advocacy and a number of other things. Talk a little bit about some of the accomplishments that the Alaska Commission on Aging has had.
Well, in terms of advocacy accomplishments, one of our responsibilities by statute is to advise the legislature and the governor about the needs of older Alaskans and to provide recommendations on how to address those needs. So this last legislative session, we've heard a lot from senior providers, as well as seniors and elders themselves, about the importance of the senior nutrition program. So we developed an advocacy initiative to request additional monies for the new senior nutritional program. And this includes funding for Meals on Wheels, the meals that are served at the senior center. And we were successful in doing so, thanks to the legislature. We were able to add another $300,000 to the senior meal budget. So that'll really help quite a bit because the cost, you know, of providing that service continues to go up and up. And there's more seniors, too. And we're, you know, growing at like anywhere from 4% to 6% a year, the senior population is. Something else, too, that we advocated for was the extension of the senior benefits program. And this is a very, very important program for seniors who qualify, income qualify for this program. And in fact, we did our senior survey this last year, and we didn't talk about that, but the commission did do a senior survey as part of doing our needs assessment for the state plan. And we had more than 2,800 Alaskan seniors respond to that survey. And there were two chief concerns that they had about living in Alaska. One was having access to health care, and the other one was financial security. You know, we found that 2 out of 5 seniors are doing okay, but there are 2 out of 5 seniors who are just making ends meet, but if they had some kind of like emergency situation, you know, that would put them over. And there's 1 out of 5 seniors who don't have enough money, you know, to make ends meet at all. They're having a hard time just affording the basic essentials. So the senior benefits program is really, really important in helping those seniors to be able to afford those basic essentials. And one of the things that we found out when we were visiting in rural Alaska was that some people didn't know about the senior benefits program. So we've been trying to, you know, every time we make a visit out there, we bring senior benefits information with us and make mention of it to make sure that people know about senior benefits.
Well, I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there who had the program or need the program that are grateful for that. Can you tell us, if our listeners are unaware of the senior benefit and are more interested, where can they get an application or call to get more information?
Off the top of my head, I don't know the phone number, but they would need to contact the Division of Public Assistance.
Okay.
They could do that locally in most communities. There is state office that they can contact. In the event they don't have that, they can call the Aging and Disability Resource Center. They would provide them with the number, or just call the Department of Health and Social Services.
And maybe even local senior centers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that's a really great program. So when you think of the areas that the Alaska Commission on Aging is going, do you have some primary plans or goals that you are wanting to accomplish in the future?
I think what we what helps guide our work is by looking to the Alaska State Plan for Senior Services. And we have in that plan that we talked about that was developed with the help of a multi-agency steering committee, because we all had input into it. We developed 4 main goals. One goal, the first goal, is to make sure that people are healthy, are financially secure, are safe, so that they can make important contributions to their communities, so they stay, you know, as active members of their communities and members of their families. The second goal that helps drive our work is that seniors have access to home and community-based services, you know, in their communities so that they can remain as close to home as possible. So that we feel is very important that people have access to those services when they need them. Because, you know, those core services, the meals program, transportation, care coordination, these are all basics, core services that people rely on, family caregivers rely on for respite services that, you know, helps people to stay healthy and independent. So that's our second driving goal. The third one is to look at housing, senior housing. You know, as our senior population increases, it's really important that we have enough senior housing and of the right type, too, you know, to have safe, quality, affordable, accessible senior housing in communities where elders and seniors live. And our fourth goal centers on elder protection, to make sure that seniors are safe from abuse, self-neglect, financial exploitation, and physical abuse.
Governor Parnell also added on elder fraud, elder abuse, and whatnot to his existing legislation. So not only women and children, but it's also going to be elders as well, seniors as well, as protected under that initiative. So wanted to let people know about that too.
Yeah, and we thank Governor Parnell for his support of keeping elders safe. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's come across to me for sure being in here with the two of you, and I think to our listeners that you both have a real passion for the senior population. Sharon, let's start with you. What led you? What drives this passion?
Well, I'm a senior, number one, and I'm retired. And so like I told you, we were appointed by the governor and so on and so forth. But I don't know. It's just that I've always had this passion. I was in housing for 12 years with Alaska State Housing Authority, and with opening up senior buildings and making sure seniors were comfortable in their lives and whatever. And then I was with the court system for 10 years and saw how criminals live. So, and that's another thing that we have to face as seniors in the criminal justice system and what they're going to do when they get out. So I really have the passion for the people in the rural Alaska because of the fact services are more prevalent around Anchorage than they are, say, in Alakanik or Bethel or in the areas like that. And we can talk about home and community-based services, but who's going to provide it out there? And that's one thing that we're looking into. I've been in the commission for this 8 years now. Next year will be my last term. We're in it for four-year terms. 8 years is all you can do, and then you have to be out for a while.
Well, and I think, Sharon, you made a good point earlier and sort of reiterated now, one size doesn't fit all. So
right.
What we need to be doing is making sure we're looking at the culture perspective.
Absolutely, and that's one thing I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm. And Denise, how about you? What brings your passion to this?
Well, I think, my love for this type of work came from my parents. My parents had me late in life, so both of them at different times developed, my father developed Alzheimer's disease, and so I was a family caregiver at a distance for him. And my mom had multiple strokes, and so she developed vascular dementia, and so I was a caregiver too, a distant caregiver. So I was able to learn about these conditions and what it takes for family caregivers to provide the help, to families, to people that they love. And I think, that's what pulled my heartstrings in this direction. Yeah, I used to, before moving to Juneau, I lived in Fairbanks for a long time, and I was the director at the North Star Council on Aging Senior Center in Fairbanks. And I loved that work. I really enjoyed being involved in providing the services to the seniors. So I knew what it meant to deliver, a meal to somebody in their home and what happiness that brought to that person, and being able to see that. And driving the senior center bus and how much people appreciated that service. So it just gave me a really good foundation, for, how much seniors too contribute to their communities and how much they give of themselves. Not, of course, financially, as Sharon mentioned, but also in terms of just you know, their personality and also, you know, their caring for people and how much these services mean to them. So,
well, thank you both for sharing your personal stories. I do want to end the show today because we're getting close to our time with our listeners, many of them being elders themselves. If you would have any advice to give to them if they wanted to let the state know, let the legislature know, to advocate for themselves, what advice would you leave them with today?
Definitely advocate for themselves. And by doing that, they can go to their local legislators. We have legislators in all districts of Alaska. Let them know what your needs are. We're only 11-member board, and we can't do it all. We need your help. Mm-hmm. We need the back, you know, you guys to get out there and be let us know what you need, and we'll advocate for you, but you have to help us. And I tell that every time I have the chance, you know.
People can also participate in our meetings through public comment. The commission has 4 meetings a year. We always have a public comment section in our meetings. And also, the commission sponsors the senior legislative advocacy teleconferences during session. There are wonderful sessions. We hold them every other Thursday morning from 9:30 until 11 during session. And it's a wonderful opportunity to learn about the various types of legislation being introduced that impacts seniors. We have speakers representing the various legislative offices and other guest speakers. And then we have a lot of discussion, too, about what this legislation means for the senior. And also talk about ways in which people can advocate, either by writing a letter of support, or, you know, calling their legislator and so forth. We get those kind of tips, too, if people want to become engaged.
And Denise, you mentioned earlier, I think it was over 90,000
yes.
seniors in Alaska. So Sharon and Denise, when you think about advocating for themselves, that's 90,000 voices strong.
Yes.
Well, that's our show for today. I'd like to thank both Denise and Sharon for being with us and all the helpful information. Thank you for joining me, Lisa Borizonik, for this edition of Aging in Alaska. If you have thoughts, ideas, questions, or comments, be sure to email us at aging@alzalaska.org or call 1-800-478-1080. Tune in November as we recognize National Alzheimer's Awareness Month and interview this year's research forum speaker, Dr. Joshua Gatson, regarding traumatic brain injury and the risk that it may have in developing Alzheimer's or related dementia. Again, this is Aging in Alaska. See you next time. Aging in Alaska is produced by the Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. Music is generously provided by Bumua. Visit us on the web at alzalaska.org.